How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
I filed today my paperwork to seek the office of the presidency of the United States.
I do not believe in Sharia law in American courts. I believe in American laws in American courts, period.
I'm someone who believes that you approach issues using faith and reason. And if your faith is pure and your reason is right, they'll end up in the same place.
The protections between the separation of church and state were designed to protect people of faith from government, not government from people of faith.
Congress should never prohibit the expression of your Christian faith in a public place.
People of all faiths are welcome in this country. Our nation was founded on a principle of religious tolerance.
Some of the voices from last night's GOP presidential debate in Manchester, New Hampshire. It was a large group. It always is at this time in a presidential race. They were kind of just checking each other out. The gloves did not come off. It was generally referencing the sitting president, President Barack Obama. It's a beginning. I don't know if we learned much about what any of these candidates, the ones who've been in for a while or the ones who simply announced last night, what they actually want to do if they're elected president of the United States. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard joins us for the first 10 minutes of this hour to talk about the GOP debate last night. Then, to round off today's program, Dr. Dan Gard will be our guest. He's professor of Old Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll remember, along with the rest of the church today, the Old Testament prophet, Elisha. Mark Hemingway is the online editor of the Weekly Standard and a regular guest here on Issues Etc. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Did we all see the next GOP nominee for president on the stage last night?
Well, the short answer to that is very probably, and the longer answer is I hope not. There are definitely a couple of people on that stage that I think have very sort of clear paths to winning the nomination, particularly Pawlenty and Romney, and possibly Michelle Bachmann if she got really, really, really lucky. But by and large, that was about it for this grouping. However, I think a lot of people are dissatisfied with the current crop of candidates. They're, you know, unhappy that, people like Mitch Daniels have decided against running. Chris Christie and Paul Ryan haven't been able to be convinced to join the race. Rick Perry's thinking about jumping in, the governor of Texas, and if he were to do so, he'd automatically be a strong contender. And, of course, John Huntsman, who everyone pretty much knows is running, hasn't declared his candidacy. He was supposed to declare his candidacy next week, wasn't actually on stage last night. So there's a whole lot of possibilities beyond who was there in New Hampshire last night.
Were you surprised by Michelle Bachmann's announcement there in her first response that she's filed the papers and is officially running for president?
Oh, not in the slightest. It was pretty obvious for a while that that was going to be in the cards. However, I do think it was a relatively savvy move on her part. I think more people probably saw her announcement because of the way she chose to announce it there than just about everyone else. You know, Pawlenty announced his on Facebook, and then, you know, everybody tried to do something to, you know, attract attention. But, you know, that was probably one of the smarter gambits I've seen for the announcement.
What was Representative Bachmann's announced candidacy, what bearing does it have on Sarah Palin's possible candidacy?
That's a good question. A lot of people are saying that they would be going largely after the same sort of constituency in the primary, just because they appeal to a certain part of the conservative, Tea Party base. And they would sort of be fighting over vote. So, you know, certainly Bachman, if she looks strong in the race, that may or may not affect whether or not Sarah Palin decides to run. You know, personally, I haven't seen much indication that Palin is planning on running, although, you know, it's certainly a possibility that should not be discounted.
Who is the favorite so far of the people we saw there last night of the Tea Party?
Of the Tea Party? That is a really good question. It's hard to say. I think just as a knee-jerk reaction to that question, I'd say it's probably between Michelle Bachman and Herman Cain. Herman Cain is an interesting guy. I mean, he's been part of Tea Party favorite because, A, he has nothing to do with Washington, D.C., beyond serving on the board of directors of the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank. He has almost no government experience. All his experience is in business, and people in the Tea Party especially view that as a plus. Plus, Herman Cain is a guy that's been on the professional sort of speaking circuit for a long time, and he sort of gained his political prominence by speaking at Tea Party conventions. So he definitely has that base nailed down. And then Michelle Bachman, of course, you know, as someone who's been one of the most stalwart conservatives in Congress for a very long time, and has been very sort of, you know, ideologically, you know, rigid, been a very ideologically rigid conservative. You know, I think people in the Tea Party, you know, look for that kind of, you know, integrity. And so, you know, she's a favorite too. Plus, Michelle Bachman is very good and outspoken on social issues, which appeals to a large part of the Tea Party as well.
Well, on the issue of social issues, were all the candidates that we saw last night at the GOP debate, were they on the same page when it came to those big social issues like same-sex marriage, abortion, et cetera?
More or less. Ron Paul might be the one guy that is a little off in the distance. However, you know, even Ron Paul, who, you know, he's so libertarian that people forget this. He's a former obstetrician who is resolutely pro-life and always has been. So, you know, he should get some credit for that. But yeah, more or less, of all the people on stage last night, they were all, you know, pretty solidly pro-life and pretty solid on issues such as marriage. Although there was one interesting part in the debate where they asked them about states that legalized gay marriage and whether they saw that as a federal government imperative to do anything about that. And almost all of them said that they would not go into the states and do anything to meddle to overturn, you know, a blue state's decision to legalize gay marriage. Now, a couple of them, I think Pawlenty, and I don't remember if anyone else did, but I think Pawlenty did say that they would support a constitutional marriage amendment to define marriage between one man and one woman. So that would render the debate at the state level moot.
One of the candidates that defied my expectations, because I thought when Newt Gingrich took the stage for a debate, he probably would have a strong showing, although he's had a terrible last week. But I thought he would stand head and shoulders, at least among the top there last night. But the consensus is he had a slow start. Did that surprise you?
No, you know, could have really gone either way with Newt Gingrich. I mean, he's one of the smartest guys on the stage, you know, hands down. You know, he was a very talented professor before he got into politics, and he's always been very good at, you know, things like history and policy details and things like that. However, Gingrich is also a guy that tends to get really lost in the details. He goes off on these tangents and things like that where, you know, he gets sort of excited, and then, like, the things that he thinks are interesting overwhelm perhaps the message that he's trying to get out. So I wasn't terribly surprised about that. That said, you know, he had some great answers last night. You know, when they asked him about immigration, and, you know, they asked him about immigration, what he would do about it, and he made this point, you know, that you know, the immigration is frequently drawn up as this binary thing, and the reality is that no Republican should be trapped into, you know, thinking that this debate, you know, or being, you know, forced to answer a question where the answer is that, you know, either we provide amnesty to all 11 million immigrants in this country, illegal immigrants in this country, or we, you know, kick them all out. You know, there's lots of middle ground, and there's lots of things that you can do to sort of alleviate the problem. He also had some good answers on when they asked about NASA as well. You know, it's clear he understands the policy details and some of these things better than most.
How did Mitt Romney do last night, in your opinion?
The consensus is, well, you know, Let me just say, the consensus is that Mitt Romney did very well, and I thought he did fine. I didn't see anything that really wowed me as far as Mitt Romney's performance went. But then again, you know, Romney is the automatic front runner in terms of here's the guy that has the most name recognition and probably the most money of all the Republican candidates at this point in time. So Romney's job was to just go up there and you know, not be knocked down a peg, and he did that very effectively. He gave very clear answers. You know, he's been doing this for a while, he said the right things. He looked very in command and presidential. And importantly, a lot of the candidates, Tim Pawlenty in particular, had been going after Romney on health care as of late, and Pawlenty seemed to really pull his punches last night, and then that caught a lot of people's attention. And the fact that Pawlenty seemed somewhat scared of Romney on the stage, I think really elevated Romney's position. I think the consensus is that Romney won the debate by not losing.
Well, okay, real quickly, what do you think that was about, Pawlenty pulling his punches? About 30 seconds.
That's a really good question. It's hard to tell at this point in time. You know, maybe Pawlenty is thinking down the future. You know, maybe he wants to be vice president down the road or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe he just doesn't want to be, you know, define himself by being the guy that attacks Romney. He wants to stand out on his own.
Do you think that Mitt Romney can win the support of white evangelicals who vote in Republican presidential caucuses and primaries, Mark?
That was more of an open question in the last election because the field was so wide open. But the fact of the matter is whoever the Republican candidate is going to have a great tool for uniting the Republican base, and his name is Barack Obama, who is pretty universally loathed among Republicans. So I think anybody but Obama will benefit Mitt Romney greatly. A lot of people that have doubts about his religion or anything else, that'll probably be erased by the doubts they have about Obama.
Mark Hemingway is online editor for the Weekly Standard. You'll find a link to his columns under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Mark. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Dan Gard. The church remembers the Old Testament prophet Elisha. We will do so with him right after this.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
You'll find 130 Bible stories for young children in the Story Bible. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. The Story Bible contains high-quality, realistic art, discussion questions, and prayers. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Story Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. Christ-centered, cross-focused, the Story Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Independent and in the black for 2 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. Worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.